Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6 through 8. We read this scripture this morning. We'll read it again tonight. Speaking about spiritual confidence in the Lord, that we might be the kind of people that God wants us to be. Let's read in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6 through verse 8. The Bible said this, I am now ready to be offered. Sometimes we expect somebody else to be ready, but the Bible said here there's going to come our time, that we need to be ready to be offered. For the time of my departure is at hand. Paul was looking to death coming. As he looked back on his life, he said this. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Can you say that? Can you say what it says in verse number 7? Can you say that about yourself? That you, as you look back on your life, can you say, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. God has something on His mind for you to do. I don't know what it is. I have enough trouble doing what I need to do. But that's doing what you need to do. I can't do that at all. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Paul said, I finished my course. Paul didn't say, I finished your course. He didn't say, I finished our course. Paul said, I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Can you say that you have kept the faith? That's what we need to do. Keep the faith. The Bible said in verse 8. Henceforth, now, in verse number 6, Paul is looking toward death. In verse number 7, Paul is looking back at his ministry. But in verse number 8, Paul is looking forward to the judgment. He says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to them also that love His appearing. I pray that we might have a spiritual confidence as Apostle Paul had as he approached death. We might look back on our life this way he did. He said, I'm ready to be offered right now. I'm ready. As he wrote to Timothy, he said, I'm ready. I'm ready to die. I'm ready to be done with this. He said, I look back on my life. He said, I've done what God wanted me to do. Can we all say that with God? I've done what God wanted me to do. Listen, I challenge you tonight, if you're a young person, especially if you're a young person, that you might understand that you have a life to live, but you have a life to be answered for. One of these days, God will bring you into judgment for everything you've ever done, for everything you've ever thought. You need to be right before Almighty God. I'm closer to my time. I'm closer to the judgment of God now than you are. That's what I think, because I'm older than most of you. That's what I'm thinking. I don't know that. It may be that I'm going to live to see you buried. I don't know that. I don't know. But you may live to see me buried. I don't know. But we need to be ready to be with the Lord. That's what I want to talk about. You see, we need to fight a good fight now. The Bible said in verse 8, if we fight a good fight, then we have confidence in the Lord. We spoke this morning on this same scripture. Notice we talked about Job, and how that he was not ever called to preach. He was never called to preach. But Job had a good testimony of knowing the Lord. You know, and that's the real good thing. You don't have to be called to preach to have a good testimony of the Lord. There are some of you people here tonight that have a good testimony of what God has done for you in your life. And you're a witness to everybody. Y'all do that. Y'all do that. Just like Job was a good, faithful person of God. We found also that David, we read in Psalms 23 about David, who wrote this psalm. He was never called to preach. David was a king. He had some influence on people. I tell you what, you have influence on people. People will follow you. And they ought to follow you. If you're leading them to the Lord, that's even better, right? It's even much better, much better. You see, some people followed Paul. He was a man who was call of God to preach, to be a missionary. And so there's those three categories of people that are faithful to God. And we need to be faithful to Almighty God because we are called to be faithful. God wants us to be faithful. He don't want us just to do everything else. But notice this. How did these three men we talked about, Paul, David, and Job, how did they have scriptural confidence? How did they really have that? Is it possible that they were just faking it all? Say no. They weren't just faking it. I mean, they were real. They were real believers. Job, when he lost all of his children, when his wife said, curse God and die, when he lost all of his material wealth, when he lost his health, when he was sitting on a scrap heap, scraping himself with an old piece of a broken clay pot, he didn't have anything at all. He wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a missionary. He wasn't a king. Yet what, he still had the Lord. That's what counts. That's what counts. Paul, as he wound up his life, he said, I fought a good fight. I pray today that you will be able to say, when you come to death's door, that you have done what God wanted you to do. That you've been a good witness. That you've been faithful to God. I know we're sitting here in good health tonight. But that don't mean that we're not at death's door. I don't mean that at all. Understand that that's so. David, when he wrote Psalm 23, was not at death's door, I don't think. What he said there was good and right. But notice, in the book of Colossians chapter 2, what Paul wrote to these brethren. In Colossians 2, in verse 1, 2, and verse number 3. The desire that Paul had for these people, that they would do right. In Colossians 2, and verse 1. The Bible said, therefore, I would that ye knew. Paul says, I wish you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. And for as many as not see my face in the flesh. I wish that you could understand this. The great conflict that I have for you. Verse number 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. So Paul is desiring that they all would perfectly understand what he's talking about. To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Listen, in this verse number 2, in the latter part of that verse, it talks about to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. You like mystery stories? I tell you what, there's a good mystery right there. Paul mentions this mystery in three or four different places here in this book. Look in verse 27 of chapter 1. He mentions this again. Verse 26 is another place. The Bible said, just read verse 25 if you would. Chapter 1, verse 25. Whereof I made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the Word of God. So you see there? It's important to know this. Verse 26. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations. Wow. But now it's made manifest to His saints. So now you can know what this mystery is. A lot of people have lived on this earth and never seen this at all. But it is our place. We can understand the mystery. In verse 27, in whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What a great thing this is that God has revealed to us. Gentiles. The truth of the Word of God. Wow. It's just a great and honorable thing that He's done for us. You need to live your life pleasing to the Lord because the judgment day is coming. I mean, that's a wrap-up, you might say. Look in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter number 6. In verse number 11, Paul was talking about, before he ever got to chapter 6, in chapter 5, the latter part of chapter 5, notice in verse number 12, the Bible said here, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers," talking about to these Hebrew people, that they should have been grown up. They ought to have been understanding what the will of God is. They ought to have been applying themselves to this valuable truth. Said, "For when the time you ought to be teachers, yeah, that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God." So those Hebrews, they had grown up. They were still little children. Verse number 12 of chapter 5, he says, "And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." Why, isn't this something? These people had just loafed along in their spiritual life until they had actually forgotten what they first knew. You see that? In verse number 12, that's exactly what he's saying. They hadn't used the knowledge that God had given them in so long, they had forgotten it. Don't ever get that way. I mean, think of a doctrine that you ought to know real well. The security of the believer. Salvation comes to us one time, we're saved from... Can you prove that in the Bible real quick? So I believe that. Well, can you prove it? I hope a scripture comes to your mind about that. I think it did, right? That's what he's talking about. But these people had lived in there so long that they had. They said, "Oh, I think I remember that doctrine." Where was that doctrine at anyway? That's what they're saying. You know, we need to be. We need to understand that people are looking up to us and they're wanting us to give an answer. Well, one of these days, like the Apostle Paul, we're going to go off the scene and then the only people left are going to be people younger than us and we're not going to be here no more. We're going to be dead. We're going to be with the Lord. We're going to be rejoicing. And then you have all this trouble down here. Listen, you need to know what the security of the believer is. You need to know it. For dead sure, you need to know it. You see? In verse number 13, he said, don't, in verse number 12, don't be like those people that still need milk. that still need the little tiny thing. But be strong, because the day is coming pretty quick when you'll need that. The Bible said in verse number 13, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of God, and righteous, for he is a babe." That's the truth. Because you give milk to a baby. Now, I still like milk. I tell you what, I still like milk. I tell you what, with drinking a lot of milk, I also eat a lot of other goody stuff. I can eat a big old piece of candy. I'm not supposed to say that. I'm supposed to say I eat helpful stuff, whatever that is. You see, verse 14 says this, "But strong meat belongeth unto him that are full age, even to those by reason of use." By reason of use, how their senses exercise to discern both good and evil. And so, we have to grow up. That's what the Bible said. We need to grow up in the Lord. We be able to discern right and wrong and take truth and throw false things out and take truth and stay with it. Listen, that's how you're going to grow. That is exactly how you're going to grow. But look here. In chapter 6, this is where I was going to get down to. But the Apostle Paul, when he wrote this book, he wanted to get into some things that he could not get into, because the people couldn't take it anyway. They couldn't take it at all. But look in verse number 9 of chapter 6. Hebrews 6, verse number 9. "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we speak thus." Paul is saying this. Notice what he says. "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you." Notice what he says then. "And things that accompany salvation." Things that are companion with salvation. Things that will bless you. That's what he's saying. Salvation is good. I mean, it is good. But there's more things in life than just salvation. There's growing up in the Lord. There's following Him. There's things like security of the believer. There's things like the sovereignty of God, whosoever will. There's a lot of good things in this Bible that will be a blessing to you as you live. But if you don't have those things, then you can have salvation, but nothing else. You see? Look what he said in verse number 10. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have manifested to the saints, ministered unto the saints, and do minister." Verse number 11. "And we desire that every one of you..." This tells me something. When Paul was writing to the Hebrews, notice, he wasn't picking on a class. He wasn't picking on just the preachers. But he said, every one of you. He said, every one of you. "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." Paul is saying here, it's good for every church member. Listen, sometimes we read things that Paul wrote. Sometimes we read about Job, who was not a church member. He wasn't a church member at all. He was in the Old Testament. We read things about David, about how that they loved the Lord, how they wanted to do what God wanted them to do. Look at this. It is important that each one of us, in verse 11, "And we desire that every one of you, you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." But it doesn't stop there. "That you be not slothful, but followers of Him, of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." And he goes on and talks about this absolute great thing that God has. But the only way we can ever have any of that is just to follow the Lord and always be obedient unto Him. But listen, the things that I'm preaching about are the things that every writer of the Old Testament wants for you. It's absolutely the way it is. Look in Isaiah 26 and verse number 3. In Isaiah 26 and verse number 3. Isaiah 26 and verse number 3. We'll read verse number 1 of Isaiah 26, verse number 1. He says, "In that day when this song shall be sung in the land of Judah, we have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open you the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in." Verse number 3. "That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." How was it in the days of Isaiah when he wrote this? How was it? Was it in a day of tranquility? Was it in a day of great peace? And a day of great contentment? Was it in a day when everybody was trusting the Lord? When it was just real good? It was not. It was not. It was when Isaiah wrote this book, when Isaiah said in verse number 3, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee." Listen, when Isaiah wrote this, he wasn't writing to people that the nation itself didn't have great peace. They did not have great peace. They had great trouble, great trial, great tribulation. But he said in this verse, in verse number 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." The point is this, is that regardless of what is going on everywhere else, you can have perfect peace if you trust in the Lord. You can have perfect contentment if you just trust God. That's what he's saying. Our peace and our contentment does not rest in everything else getting right. It doesn't rest in that. It doesn't rest in the government getting everything straightened out. Boy, if government could get things straightened out, it'd be a perfect peace. No, you wouldn't either. I tell you what. You can have perfect peace if the government is as wrong can be. You can have peace. As a saved person, as a believer in Christ, you can have peace regardless of what anybody else does. You can have peace. That's what he's talking about. You see in verse number 4 when he says this, "Trust ye in the Lord forever." Not just for here now, but trust Him forever. "For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." This is what it is. God gives great, great peace. God can take care of you. God can bless. He can do all that. Look in Romans 8. What the Bible said here. Romans 8 and verse 38. Romans 8. Look in verse number 37. The Bible says here, Romans 8, 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Look at that. What's the second word of the verse, 37? Nay, in all these things. Listen, we can be conquerors in the middle of everything else that's going on. We can be conquerors. How? Through Him that loved us. That's what the Bible said in verse 37, in the latter part of the verse. You see where our strength is? Our strength is not in us. The strength that we have is in the Lord. This is what the Bible is saying here. Nay, in all these things. It doesn't say, nay, when all these things are over with. No, it doesn't say that. But the Bible says, while we're going through those things, in those things, we can be more than conquerors. How? Through Christ that loved us. That's how I find great peace. That's how we find what God wants us to be, is if we are what God wants us to be. If we just do every day what He's telling us to do. He can give us great, great peace in all those things. Verse number 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what he says. Oftentimes, we use verse 37, 38, 39 to talk about security of the believer. It's more than that. It's more than just security of the believer. But it's how we can have confidence in Christ. We can trust Him. So how does all that happen? How in the world can we ever have real, lasting confidence and peace and trust in the Lord? Look with me in the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Chapter 1. And verse number 10. Listen. The way we can have perfect peace and contentment is not the way the world thinks. Because the world thinks we can have perfect peace and contentment when everything is going our way. That's not so. Read this with me. In 2 Peter 1, verse number 10, he says, wherefore the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. In other words, has God called you? Does God have a purpose in His mind for you? Or are you simply closing that off? I say to you, are you just closing that off? Do you refuse to listen to what the Word of God is saying? Does God have a reason for you being alive? Does God have something that He wants you to do? I think He does. I think God has a reason for your existence. God has something on His mind that He wants you to do. What is that thing? I don't know what it is for you. I have no idea what it is for you. All I know is what God wants me to do. God wants me to be faithful unto Him. In pastoring you people, God wants me to be faithful to you in the task that I do every day. God wants me to be faithful to Him. Look what the Bible said here. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. See what the Bible says there? But in order not to fall, we've got to do some things. We've got to do We've got to be what God wants us to be. You see? If we do these things, we shall never fail. That doesn't mean that we're never going to get sick. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have something else come upon us in our life. It doesn't mean that. Because things do happen. Boy, they do happen. But if we just are faithful to God, God will bless you. We shall never fail. If we just know that we've been called of God, we've been elect of God, we know that we're saved, then we need to do what God wants us to do, that we'll never fail, you see. The Bible said in verse 11, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you." And don't forget this next word. "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly." That's a great thing that God has for you. Abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who's writing this? Who wrote these words? Who wrote that? We said, well, Peter wrote that. That's what the Bible says. Yeah, Peter wrote this. But notice what he says later on. In this same chapter, verse number 13, he says, "Yea, I think it meet." In other words, I think that it's suitable. I think it's necessary. "As long as I am in this tabernacle." Peter here is talking about as long as he is alive. To stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Knowing that shortly, Peter writes this. He says, "Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me." You see, Peter knows he's going to die. Why? Because God told him so. Has God told you you're going to die? Listen, God told me I'm going to die. Or He's going to take me out, one or the other. I don't care which one. It don't make any difference at all. Whatever suits Him suits me. His grace is sufficient. But notice this. In verse number 14, He says, "Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ He showed me." Verse 15, "Moreover, I will endeavor..." So Peter here is saying, "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. This is what the Bible is saying. The whole thing we've been trying to bring out to you is that we need to have spiritual confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. We refer you back to 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 through 8, where we started from. That's our text. Where that Paul wrote, "I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." But you might be saying, "I don't think that I'm quite ready to go. I don't think that if the Lord wanted to take me home, that I'm quite ready to go." I want to tell you this. Faith is the root. Faith is the root. And assurance is the flower. All right? It takes both of those together. It takes the root that has nourishment, that sends up from the ground and makes a flower. The flower is assurance. Sometimes we want faith and assurance together. But sometimes they don't come together. Sometimes we have to grow up. Sometimes we have to develop a little bit. Just like the flower that we'll be seeing before too long grow up in the yards and all that. I love to see those. But I want you to look with me in the book of Matthew 14. I think that's the place. I want to show you Matthew 14 and verse number 30. I want you to see here a root of faith. Peter went to the Lord walking on the water. Well, that was an amazing thing when he walked on the water. The Bible said, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately the Lord stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him," listen, Peter at this point was really close to the Lord when he began to look away. Peter saw the wind boisterous and the waves. Then he was afraid when he got close to the Lord. But he began to sink. And the Lord immediately reached out his hand and touched him and put him back on. But Peter had some growing to do. Peter has, and this is a part of the thing that the Lord wants us to understand, is that we also have to grow up in the Lord. God is very gracious to us. But look with me. You keep this place in your mind, and you turn to the book of Acts chapter 4. And I want you to see here what Peter said in Acts 4. This was after he denied the Lord. This was after all those bad things were done. Peter came to the place of saying in Acts 4 and verse number 11. Here's what Peter said when he was grown up. He said, "This is a stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That's what Peter said. At the beginning, you can see his floundering faith. But it was true faith, because it came out and it blossomed later in the book of Acts 4. That's what you find. But you find also in the book of 2 Peter that Peter said, "I know that I'm going to die because God told me that. But it's my desire to preach to you that you might understand, because you have a life to live after I'm gone." That's what he was saying. Faith sometimes has to grow up. It's good to have saving faith. If you have saving faith, that is really good. But listen, you need living faith as well, to live for the Lord, do right by the Lord. Notice in the book of Acts 9 and verse number 11 that here the Apostle Paul, he's called Saul at this point. In Acts 9 and verse number 11, Paul, well, I think I better call his name Saul, because that's what his name was called right then. He was, in verse number 8, Acts 9, verse number 8. When Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. This is an amazing story to me. Saul was there in Damascus. He was sorrowful, blind, and did not eat. I'll tell you what. Later in his life, Paul, as his name has been changed, had great assurance in the Lord when he said in the book of 2 Timothy, we read it to you as our text already, in 2 Timothy 4, in verse number 6 through 8, he said, I'm now ready to be offered. See, Paul at this point had grown up. There was a time that Paul did not know what the Lord wanted him to do. He did not know that. That may be for you. That you don't know right now what God wants you to do. You ever face that? I tell you what, I face it all the time. But it's good to get that settled. It's good if you're saved by the grace of Almighty God. God has a work for you to do. God wants you to be faithful to Him. God wants you to be true to Him. It would be good if you just do that. Then, at the end of your life, you can say, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus Christ one of these days. I'm looking forward to that. Peter says, we need to make our calling and election absolutely sure. Faith is life. It's a great blessing to have a faith. But assurance is more than life. Assurance is health, is strength, is power, is vigor, is activity, is energy. You see, God wants us to be grown up. God wants us to be the kind of people He wants us to be. It's His intention to mold and make us the way He wants us to be. So what I'm talking about, I'm not talking about if you're saved or not. I'm talking about if you're really saved, if you're really a believer in Christ, you need to have a purpose in your existence. Why has God saved you, and why is God dealing with you the way He has? This is what we're talking about. That you might come to the place in the end of your life to say, I know where I'm going. I know with assurance where I'm going. I know that as I look back on my life, I thank God that He touched me the way He has. That's what it's talking about. That's what I'm talking about. With the Apostle Paul, a great man, he was great only because God made him great. That's it. Okay, I'm all done, I think. We'll take up this next time, if Lord willing. But if you're lost, we pray for you that the Lord would touch your heart, that you might see Jesus Christ true to you, that you might understand that Christ is the one that died on the cross of Calvary for your sins, that you might trust Him today, that you might repent of what you are and believe the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for you that the Lord would help you tonight. Brother, all of you come please, as we stand, if you would, as we sing this message, sing this song, we pray that the Lord will have each one of us be what He wants us to be. Pray for us every day. If you're lost, especially, that the Lord would touch your heart, that you might come to know Him as your own personal Savior. Trust Him today. Don't wait. It don't make a difference what your friends do. What makes a difference is what you do. You know, I was thinking that as we were singing the first song, I think it was. I thought about Brother Cecil Fager. And he was, after he'd been saved, you see, he was gloriously saved. And you know the story that he tells there about all that. But the part that I'm wanting to get at is that when he took his best friend and he sat on a pier there in the Gulf of Mexico, and he told him he'd been saved by the grace of Almighty God and all the things he wanted to do for God. He said, "I want you to come along with me, and together we can do this." He was like, the boy wouldn't. He wouldn't. You know, he's like, "Might be what you want to do, but that's not what I want to do." And that's a parting ways right there. So, you know, today, if you're lost, you need to trust the Lord and be saved. If you're already saved, you need to be faithful to Almighty God. He is the only one that can answer. He's the only one that can bless you. He's the only one. We pray for you, and you pray for me as well. Okay, brother.